Access more.
Well, hi, friends. We are back with a friend of mine, kind of a newer friend, but just a wonderful, wonderful man, Brandon Lake.
Hey, hey.
Welcome, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
We're so glad you're here and want to share a little bit about how we know each other, how we first connected, your wife, Brittany.
Yeah.
And you and my husband, Cubby, and I were at an event called Gather for Worship Leaders.
Yeah.
Out in Redding, California. It was such a sweet time, right?
Like, it's a community. Probably the coolest gathering I've ever been a part of.
Yeah.
Yeah, worship leaders, artists from all around.
The world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and got to meet so many, my hero right in front of me.
Whatever.
One of my many heroes.
You're sweet.
But got to meet so many of my heroes and just being real community. No cameras, everything's off.
No.
Just hanging out.
Just fellowship. Being the body of Christ.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
And the only thing that we did outside of just like having community time, just sharing in life and stories, was we had a worship time and all these worship leaders from around the world just singing to God. It was like a little taste of heaven.
It was heavenly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if there's a better sound than that right there.
No. It was magical.
We did worship. We prayed over one another.
Yes.
And then I don't know about you, but I ate.
Yes, we ate some food and had some great coffee.
Yeah, it was great.
So in essence, we bonded, you know, that the two couples. And then we did some songwriting together last year for my album, which was so thankful about that. And then we have a song together now.
Yeah, I'm
called
so
The Battle
pumped.
Is the Lord's.
Battle is the Lord's. Such a good song.
I'm so glad you're on it.
I'm so honored to be on it.
Thank
what a good
you.
Message that we need right now. I mean, I think that it's funny how even walking with the Lord for several years now, you know.
Like your whole life.
My whole life, basically.
Yeah, me too.
We can get into that later. You know, I love my story, but so grateful for my relationship with God. But how is it that every single day, it's like I try to take the control back into my own hands?
Me too.
And it's such a good reminder that the battle's his.
Yes.
Never was mine.
Yes.
And I'm just called to be obedient, be confident
that
he's on my side. He's going before me.
Yes. Yeah, and for me, I feel like that message of that song, as I've been working on this new album last year and then, you know, this year, has been really relevant while I've been in the process of this album, because I was in music for nearly 20 years, which I just can't even believe that. Started super young. And then was kind of out of it for a while. And I just think, like, music is a muscle, songwriting is a muscle,
right.
And some of these insecurities would come into play during this writing process for this album and recording process, and I've just had to come back to this truth of this song that this battle is God's, it's not mine. And like when he called me back to music a couple of years ago, very radically, he just said, you don't have to plan this. Like he just said, I've got this, I've got it, I'm going to roll it out for you, just trust me, walk in this calling that I have on your life. And so he gave me that promise. I've got this. But I feel like, same as what you just said, it's so easy just to go, oh, I got to handle this and I've got to fix this and I've got to control this. But I've just come back to this, the words of this song.
Yeah.
Just trust in him, Beck. Like, just settle in his plan. The battle is the Lord's. It's not yours. You don't have to take it on. Why so heavy on my soul? You don't have to be heavy. So it's just, it's kind of nice when you write a song and then it ends up ministering to you as you're attempting to minister to other people through God's truth.
It's always funny how like your own songs become the ones that, you know, you're
challenge
trying to
bless you the most in a different season.
And you need, like, wrote a song, you know, months ago, really for someone else who's going through such a painful season. And then just a few days ago, just like went through a hardship with our family. And I was like, oh, I know exactly what song to turn to. And turned to that song and it just blessed me so much. But, you know, I think with this song, it reminds me of something with the battle song, something that my mom told me, you know, so many of us wrestle with, what's God's will for my life?
Yep.
And I think it's a lot more simple than what we try to figure out, what we try to make it out to be.
Yep.
It's like surrender every day. And if
every
you surrender
moment.
Every day,
yes.
If you just wake up, remember she's like, Brandon, if you just wake up and your response as soon as you wake up is, God, whatever you have for me today, I say yes.
Yep.
And I just surrender.
Yep.
I'm not going to try to you know, bust any doors down. I'm just going to say yes to whatever you put in front of me that I feel like is you.
Yes.
And he takes care of the rest.
Yes. Yeah. But we sometimes need those reminders to come back to that, right?
Like, yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Surrender. You got this, God. You got this. So,
and it helps. The song sounds amazing.
Oh,
you sound amazing.
You're so sweet.
The production, it is an incredible song. And
praise the Lord.
Yeah, it's like another tool in your tool belt to just against the enemy.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's awesome. It's rowdy. It's powerful.
Wow, dude. Thank you. Thank you for singing on it.
Yeah.
It's nice to have that ministry moment together and to be able to lead it together coming up. I'm excited about that.
So pumped.
So, we chatted before this podcast time about what would be on kind of your heart to share with people that could be helpful to do with family, to do with life, to do with faith. And you had a really, really interesting idea and thought, and something that I feel like I don't hear people talking about enough, but I just feel like is super valuable. Mm-hmm. And it has to do with the topic of play.
Yeah.
And I love, like, it's such an intriguing, interesting title to me, but I want you to share like why that idea came to you and why you're passionate about it.
I think it's so underestimated.
Yeah.
The healing power that can come from just playing.
Yes.
And, you know, when we were talking and you kind of, you kind of put the ball in my court, like, hey, what's on your heart immediately? And I almost myself, here's proof that it seems like our culture doesn't value it. As soon as it came to my mind, I was like, there's no way that would be valuable. And then I just like, for a few seconds, I really thought, why did that come to my mind first though?
Yes.
Maybe that was Holy Spirit. Maybe
Absolutely.
That was the Spirit of God saying, no, this needs to be talked about. This thing of play, prioritizing play with your family. And that's something that's just been on my heart. And I almost feel like a responsibility, like my, you know, my family is my first ministry.
Yes, absolutely.
And
we talk about that too.
God's going to like work through my family and I believe carry out a message through my family, not just me and my music, but through my family. And that's something that it's just been very evident that God has, it's like he's given us an opportunity, our family for us to be an icon for that, to kind of push that
picture.
Yeah.
Health and joy in the family, right?
Right. And I think for me, it's kind of come natural because my family modeled it so well.
Your family of origin, yeah.
My parents, yeah. They did such a good job prioritizing play.
See, this is super interesting to me. So you grew up in, as a pastor's kid, right? Your dad was a pastor of a church.
Full on PK, yeah.
Yeah. And there's a stereotype that goes along with that of... You're going to resent the church and you're going to end up resenting God because your dad was so involved in giving to the family of God that it just happens so often that I think kids end up resenting their parent for feeling like other people got chosen over them.
Yeah.
But this was not the case, it sounds like, in your family.
Not the case with my family. They did it so well. And I won't say they did it perfect, but I don't feel like they ever sacrificed family on the altar of ministry.
Praise the Lord.
And I just feel like my dad, he just got it. And obviously there were late nights, like, you know, where dad got home late, you know, he was counseling someone but he always made time. My mom, my dad always made time to play. And that, I think they really understood that the
value of it.
Yeah. That's our first ministry. And if we don't take care of that, how is, you know,
anything else going to be healthy and good?
What do you pour out if you're not, you know, cultivating that ministry at home and that love and community for one another? And so, they got really creative because growing up in a church plant, we weren't exactly wealthy. we were struggling a little bit but that was such a beautiful platform and an opportunity to see the miracles of God happen and provision.
His provision.
Oh my gosh. I have hilarious stories of how God's provided.
Yeah.
I mean, like one, just
tell,
to give you one.
Yeah.
I was a baby and we literally didn't have money for diapers.
Wow.
In rags, doing the whole washing rag thing.
Wow.
this mailman
cloth
comes
diapers.
Up. Oh, yeah, yes. Cloth diapers, yes. You know, pinning the cloth on, you know, both sides, all that.
Yeah, we did that too.
Mailman comes up to the door, knocks, hey, do you guys happen to have a baby? My mom's like, well, yeah, we actually do. He goes, well, I have a year's supply of diapers.
No
with
way.
No address on them. And for whatever reason in that time, I guess he couldn't return them or who knows. This man was an angel.
But I got goosebumps right now.
He gave us a year's supply of diapers. And so the joke is, though, they were both blue and pink. So I was rocking pink diapers for half a year, you know, Minnie Mouse diapers probably.
I have some pictures of that with you in the pink diaper. That's amazing.
Funny,
how beautiful is God?
God's in the details,
yes.
You know, and that you could overlook and just go, it's a coincidence, but I don't think so. I think, and there's been crazy stories. Like my parents been given cars and we didn't have vehicles, just, you know,
yep.
They're rough, but they were free, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And so, you know, that was a really cool time in my life. And, but we got creative with having fun. We didn't have a lot of money, so we would do a $5 fun night.
And
the whole family. Now, nowadays, if you did that, if you want to take this idea, maybe try $20. I don't know what you could get.
Let's give some room for inflation there. Yeah.
But we'd go to the Dollar Tree, Dollar General, and there was five of us in the family. So we'd each get a dollar. You could buy your, you know, one thing, or we put our $5 together and we would buy something in that
together.
Evening. That was our thing that we were going to do together, get creative.
How often would you guys do this?
Almost. There was some kind of weird creative idea every weekend.
And who was doing this? Your mom, your dad?
My mom and my dad just came up with stuff like this.
So sweet. I love it.
We did.
It's great ideas.
Once we had a little bit more income coming in, we did, each of us got $5, go to the grocery store, and we'd buy ingredients to make our own dessert.
That's
come
so
back to
cool.
the house. And we would do a dessert, a cook-off.
That's
and
so cool.
$5 had to make a dessert. You had to make it up, you know, dirt and worms, if you've ever heard of that, stuff like that, you know, pudding and jelly, you know.
Yeah, jelly worms.
Jelly worms, gummy bears, whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, stuff like that, you know. My dad made a wiffle ball field in our backyard.
Wow.
Tore up the yard just so that we could have like a little baseball field, and everyone from the neighborhood would come over, and
I love it.
All the kids, and
tell about the you were telling me the story about the church became your literally your playground, right? The actual church building.
Yeah,
and you had your own personal family lock-in.
Maybe not everybody's fortunate enough to like your workplace could be this, but I feel like this is for people outside of even ministry. Like, okay, maybe your dad, your mom doesn't work at the church, or you don't have the keys to the church, so you can't do this, what I'm about to tell you. But maybe get creative with like, how do you turn your work into play as well? And my dad and my mom, what we would do is we would turn the church into literally our playground. And so the auditorium, we'd take all the chairs up this was like usually Friday or Saturday.
Yeah.
Before Sunday services. And we had which was a basketball court. So we had basketball goals.
Amazing.
It doubled as a, you know, our sanctuary and then also a basketball court. And then, so we would skateboard while playing basketball.
No way.
Open up the baptismal, which is a hot tub. Get in
Love
and out
it.
Of the hot tub.
Love it.
And then we put a movie on the giant projector.
I love it.
And that was,
That's
we just, they let us run amok.
Yeah.
And even now in the church, like, you know, I just let my kids go crazy. Just like, why not? I want them to love the church.
Yes.
And it shouldn't be a place where, you know, I just feel like they should feel at home. It
Absolutely.
Should be a second home. You know?
And there's joy and there's freedom. Yeah. And I think there is something about that too. Just the focus that your parents modeled and gave time to intentionally to play, that speaks to the life and the joy and the freedom of Jesus and the life with him, that like life in Jesus is fun.
Yes.
It's free. It's the best. It's the best adventure. And my parents, we did things so unconventionally too. And I feel like dad always talked about that, about God's adventure being the best adventure.
Yeah.
And I feel like they spoke to the freedom in Jesus through living it with you kids and thinking creatively.
Yeah.
And so, not everybody's going to be able to have
the
baptismal be their hot tub.
Church,
But we can think creatively when it comes to our home life and connecting. And I think part of why I feel really challenged in a good way by what you're talking about to do with play. And I think that there's a really beautiful spiritual blessing in this concept and us being encouraged in this concept, is because I don't know if a lot of moms are like me, but I think that they are, because I feel like I hear this from other moms.
Yeah.
But we can get so task oriented and so focused on, oh, I need to pick up the house. I've got another meal to cook. Like, I just finished breakfast and then got to be thinking about lunch, and there's, you know, potty training, and like, we're in the middle of it right now with our 2-year old.
And I've got some stories there.
Oh, dude. Yeah. I mean, but there's so much that takes our attention and our focus and that we need to give time to.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of type A. I like to get stuff done. I like my to-do list to be like gradually ticking these things off or quickly ticking these things off on my to-do list. I'm a 3 with a 2 wing, for those who are into Enneagram. And I feel a sense of accomplishment in having everything tidy and good.
Yeah.
And I've had these moments as a mom of going, one day this house is going to be really, really tidy and picked up, and there's going to be no kids here. They're going to be all grown.
Right.
And did I embrace the moments of connecting with my children that I could never get back?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And did I, in just getting down on their level and playing the Legos and playing the Magna Tiles. And I mean, we've kind of sewn into buying toys that my husband and I do like to play with our kids. But it doesn't even need to be about toys. It can be just being out in the backyard and going to a park and playing on the swings with them.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many creative ways that we can connect with our kids, but prioritize that over things that are here today, gone tomorrow, when it comes to our house being picked up or everything being perfect. That's not eternal, but the relationships with our children and them knowing the love of God through us imaging that for them and connecting with them. Like, this is, like, if our main foundation of our life is to love God well and love others well, this has to come before the other stuff, right?
Right.
Like, perfect meals, perfectly balanced meals, and our house being picked up all the time.
Yeah.
Like, the sitting on the floor with them, playing, being in the yard, that has to be more of a priority. And that's a challenge for me.
It's obviously important that our floors are clean and, you know, the
stuff's made. You want some order in your household, for sure.
Of course.
Oh, yes.
But when I think back about my childhood, I don't remember how clean the floors were or when and how bad the dishes were and all that. Obviously, stuff to get done. But I remember my parents giving us attention.
Yes.
Just attention. Does it really even matter so much what you're doing?
Yes.
If you're just, as long as you're doing it together.
Yes.
And I just remember the attention that my parents gave me. And I've had this recent kind of revelation, or just this kind of wake up call. I don't want my children to remember the image of me just staring down at my phone.
Oh, dude,
and
I've totally thought the same thing. I try to like, if I need to get text done and stuff done, do it away from them. Actually,
Where
they visually are not seeing me on it that much.
They'll be like, "Hey, Dad," and I almost like now I'm trying to like, even if I am looking at my phone, like immediately look away from it or like not even let them catch, because I just don't want them. I want them to remember me just looking at them more so me coming to them asking if they want to play, more so them pulling on my shirt and being like,
beautiful,
"Hey, Daddy, can you play with me? Can we go play ball?"
Yes.
And I don't know that I'm doing that like amazingly, because there's so much demand in this season, and I don't care what you do. It's like, there's always something you could be doing or checking out and there's just so many things just like calling for your attention.
Yes.
And so that's been my goal lately, is when I'm home, I'm home.
Yes.
And everyone listening, you have my permission to keep me accountable to that.
Next time they see you at a show,
exactly,
they need to like come up and go, "How are you doing your
for real?" You have my permission.
Time off of your screen, away from the kids.
I want to get it right. I want to do it
too.
Well, because I only get to do this once, you know?
Me too. Something I just thought about, you know, while we've been talking about this idea of play, is just something that, like, an idea that's kind of come to mind. We're homeschooling our 6-year-old, and you know, sometimes homeschooling, and a lot of people have learned this too, because with coronavirus, a lot of people are having to homeschool and haven't done it before. It's been really challenging, you know? And, and even in this time, I think that's part of why it's so important that you're talking about this topic of play, because people are home and we do have a choice to kind of connect with our kids and embrace the challenging, deeply challenging time that we're in, but look for the good in it, embrace what God might be whispering to us through this time as a family reset. But one of the things that I've tried to do with my daughter sometimes is, like, if she's resisting some homeschool work or picking up toys or that kind of thing, I try to make a game of it, try to make play of that thing.
Right.
And so it's like, hey, we've got this worksheet. Let's play this game of like doing these letters really fancy and really nice. Or let's time ourselves and see how fast we can pick up these toys and we'll do it together and we'll make a race of it. Like there's a way to bring play into the stuff that is more challenging in our lives.
Right.
For our kids and for our own good too, and make a game of it. Yeah. But what have you learned through this season of coronavirus, which has just been so hard for for all of us to varying degrees? Some have lost their, you know, whole work life. Vocationally, it's been extremely challenging. Some are looking at the future going, I don't even know how we're going to survive. Emotionally, I think all of us have just felt this sense of like heaviness and weight. But again, how do we look for what God might be speaking to us in this time that can be redemptive? What do you feel like in your family life, and you and Brittany, what have you been taking away from this time?
Man, I think there's, it's a lot harder in this season to, and again, my boys are really young, but
how old are they?
They're 5 and 3.
Yeah.
But you'd be surprised how much they pick up on.
Oh yeah.
And what I feel like God is speaking to us right now is bring the kids in on it.
Yeah.
Like at their level of understanding, don't keep them this season from them. Don't like try to hide it or like pretend it's not happening. They're going to grow up later and like they're going to remember it in a way.
Yes.
And so I feel like there's this this subconscious thing that says like, you know, protect them from like what's going on. And I just feel like God's like, no, bring them in on it. Like you guys get creative together. Be honest about this season.
So good.
And like, even when like I have to sneak away into another room to work and to write, I'm not getting frustrated. Or even if I am, I'll try not to show it. If they're popping in, I've got kids running around naked and I'm working on I'm in a songwrite on a Zoom call, you know?
Gosh.
And like, but like to just like, you know, I don't know, acknowledge the season.
Yes.
And kind of bring
them in.
And
a catalyst for prayer too.
Yeah, absolutely. We've actually been asking the boys lately, like, who do you want to pray for? What do you want to pray for? And like, they know, they're like, the Vi-wis, you know, like, hey, that's awesome. Let's pray. There's a lot of hurting people for us right now. You know, we've been very protected and we're in a city where it didn't go crazy, widely spread. And so we, and I don't want to be insensitive to anyone that it has affected. For us, we've been able to use this season as a season to, like, to get outside. Yep. Like the one thing we're allowed to do is be inside and then go to like, our city opened up the beaches for just certain hours and we have a big backyard. And so we're just getting outside and just doing things that, you know, as you know, traveling as a musician, like you just don't get the, you know,
this amount of time at home,
of time. Yeah. And we're just, you know, really being honest with the kids. Hey, let's take advantage. You know, Daddy was traveling a lot a few months ago. Like right now I'm not really allowed to. So like, how amazing is this? Let's thank God for this for us. You
know, family
and I know that's
time.
Weird,
the family time.
But thanking God for the family
time.
Well,
it's looking for the good too.
Yeah.
It's looking for, okay, yes, this is really challenging and there's a lot of fear and we don't know how it's all going to resolve, but what is God doing? Where's the beauty? Where's the good, the true, and the beautiful?
Yep.
Because there's always that, right?
Absolutely.
In any challenging situation, there is always the good, the true, and the beautiful that God is doing that is redemptive. I think it's so lovely.
Yeah.
The focus that your family is having, and we're trying to have that too.
Yeah.
We're gardening and being out with the kids outside so much more because we're home.
Yeah. I think perspective is everything. And, you know, with this whole idea of play in a hard season, or in a, maybe it's easier for you in this season to do that. I think it's just perspective and, you know, just coming back into that. Like, you don't have to have a lot of money.
Yeah.
You don't have to have even a whole lot of time. It's just being intentional, having the perspective of, you know, just with whatever I have in this season, I'm going to take the grateful route. I'm going to look at the good and we're going to make the most of what we have and give God the glory for it. Just thank him that we even have family, that we even have the opportunity to be around one another and, you know, make the most with out of $5 or whatever you got.
Yes, absolutely. I love it. Well, when we were talking about this particular topic, I was thinking about Matthew 19:14, let the children come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Heaven is made up of those who think like children. And when you think about children, they are free.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, they trust a lot, right? They're not kind of going, I gotta do this and I gotta do this. And I've got this weight on me and I've got to think about how I'm going to plan out this.
Yeah.
They're just in the moment.
Yeah.
They're trusting. They're open-handed. And we can learn so much from them when it comes to life. Perspective, our relationship with Jesus. And when Jesus is in these words, just honoring children and saying, look, they're kind of a model for you of how we need to live in the kingdom of God. I think that there's this element to play and us living, even as grownups, with this kind of trusting, open-handed, free, playful mindset when it comes to our lives. Like, yeah, there's so much that's challenging, but Lord, you are our good father.
Yeah.
You are our good father that is in control. And yes, the battle is yours. And we can rest in that and we can play because you're in control.
Yeah.
And so I think our kids model that for us, but we can also model that kind of hope and trust in Jesus. And because of the peace and the hope that we can have in any situation in our lives, we can be modeling that kind of freedom for our kids. And I think what you've been talking about is just so valuable for us to institute in connecting with our kids and loving them well and making sure that they felt seen by us.
Yeah.
I read a quote the other day that attention is the beginning of devotion.
Mm.
So when we give somebody attention, they're feeling loved.
Yeah.
It's the beginning of devotion for that person. And so I feel like in play, we're giving them attention. We're just getting on their level and we are engaging with them lovingly. And so this is such an important message. And I'm so thankful that you had this idea because it's reminded me of what to prioritize in my family life. I wondered if you could just pray a covering prayer over everybody listening and just, bless them in this area and encourage, ask the Holy Spirit to encourage them in this area as we pray us out.
I'd be honored to. God, we thank you right now. Thank you for every single person listening right now. And Holy Spirit, we thank you for this message and just bring it to our attention. And it is so important to prioritize play because we know that's the heart of God. That is your heart, that we would be able to enjoy the things that you give us. And every season's not going to be easy, but I pray that you would give us that perspective of seeing the good, seeing the gift, seeing what we do have, how blessed we are, even in a difficult time. God, I pray for supernatural creativity and how we can have fun with one another and our families, our children, and that they would remember as they grow up the attention that we gave them. Give us attention to our first ministry, whatever that looks like for you as you're listening, if that's just your spouse, Maybe that right now, even in this season, it's just your friends. It's your sphere of influence that God has given you. Or maybe it's your children. But God, we ask that you would just give us creativity and give us just a heart for one another and to be a representation of what the kingdom of God really looks like, and that's family. Mm. And so, God, we ask for your help. And we thank you that you are a good father and that we don't have to apologize for having fun. that's what you want us to do. And so we love you. We're so grateful that we get to call you Father. And we thank you for your help. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Brandon, thank you so much for this time. It's been so sweet.
So honored to be
on. Our coffee conversation.
Yes, thing.
We
love it.
Really, really appreciate it and all your insights and the truth that has come through. And to those of you listening, thank you so much for being with us and honoring us with your time. And we are going to have podcasts. They're coming out every Friday, but you can sign up at Access More and get those podcasts coming to you every week. So we'd love for you to receive them and not miss out on anyone. But thank you so much for honoring us with your time. It's been such a joy.